And pray that you will learn something. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You can talk to me, don't worry. So what we want to do in our sessions is keep learning some important things. There are many messages you will hear, but some have a greater impact than others and more importance than others. And what I want to share with you this morning is the simplest of the three. I want to show you what I mentioned in the previous message, how easy it is to go back to what you used to be. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, that means you left something. You left something, you crossed the line, and you joined something else. And when you cross the line, you're supposed to never look back. So tell me somebody in the Old Testament who looked back. Yes?
Lot's wife.
Yeah, what happened to her?
She turned into a
She turned into an ice cream, that's right. You know what I said? What did you say?
I said turned into a pillar of salt.
Oh, did I read it wrong? It must have been a new English version or something. Alright. She turned into a pillar of salt. You have to realize, young people, that the devil doesn't get up in the morning and wave a red flag at you and say, this is how I want you to sin. It's not what he does. The devil's very clever. He doesn't even have to tell you how he's going to distract you. But that's all he needs to do, is distract you. He doesn't care whether it's a great sin or a small sin. In fact, sometimes he can distract you with simply doing something good that is not something that is best. You understand? So you may be distracted by something that sounds spiritual, but it's leading you off in another direction. And so his job is to distract you long enough until you get to the point where you're comfortable with the distraction he's provided. And you think you're doing the right thing. Listen to me. Help me finish the sentence. You think because it feels good. You're happy with it. Or some say it fitted like a glove. When I was a pastor for many years, people would come to me and say, "Oh, Brother Anger, we love you." And look, when they start like that, you already know they're leaving your church. "You're the greatest preacher we ever had. We love you. We thank you. Blah, blah, blah. But we're moving to Sydney. Or we're moving to Brisbane." And I would say, "Well, why?" "Oh, well, it just feels right." I say, "Well, do you have something from the Bible?" "No." "Is that important?" "Is it?" "It's thy word is the lamp under my feet." It doesn't say thy feelings are a lamp under your feet. It doesn't say that, does it? Does it? So your feelings are not worth a broken rubber band. Amen? How many of you collect rubber bands that are broken? Anybody here? Pardon? It would only be you. Have to talk to your mother, I think. Now, realize something this morning. You cannot trust your feelings. They're like a yo-yo. They're up and down every day. You can't trust them. Secondly, you can't trust your heart. Can't trust it. The heart is what? Desperately what?
Wicked.
Desperately what?
Wicked.
Not just desperate, it's wicked on top of that. So can you trust your heart? Can you trust your head? What can you trust? What? The Word of God. But why is it we don't use it? Why is it we keep going back to how we feel, not what the Bible says, but how I feel? You see what I'm saying? Now, the disciples have been with Jesus over 3 years in this mobile Bible college, traveling with him, saw every miracle, heard everything he said, watched what he did, watched how he lived, watched what a wonderful relationship he had with the Lord Jesus. They watched all of that, and still, at the end of it all, decided to go with their
feelings.
Now I want you to write two things down. These are very important things. So when you get home, I want you to nicely write them out in your Bible. But now you can write them on paper, okay? When you're ready, look at me. There are two things that you're going to write down this morning that may change the way you think for good. Number one, your heart, which is your mind, okay? Your heart in the Bible is always talking about your mind. What is your mind? It's mind, emotion, and will. That's your mind. Your heart is mind, emotion, and will. Three things. That is your heart. What is it? Mind, emotions, will. Alright, then draw a heart around that. You have three words, mind, emotions, will, and then draw your little heart around that. So when the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, it's talking about those three things. Correct? Are you with me? Good. Now, your heart, when God speaks to your mind, through his word. When God speaks to you, your heart is going to always do one thing. It's going to defend your comfort. Write it down. My heart will always defend my comfort. That's the way you live, the way you like to live, okay? Messy bedroom or clean bedroom or whatever. That's the way you are. So your heart will defend what you are. That's number one. And your heart is going to fight to the death, to the very death, to defend what you want as your comforts. That's the first point. Secondly, second thing your heart will do, is your heart is going to defend all the secrets that you have. All of you have secret desires. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Nice and loud.
Amen.
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to confess that you have secret desires, and some of them are not, they're not good. How about we do this? We have a projector here, see it? How about I could slip a little chip in there and show the rest of the class what your secret desires are? How about that? Would you like that? Huh? Would you like them to see what you did last week? Or what you thought the week before? Or what you thought of doing last year to your mother or your father? Would you like all of us to have a little look at that and analyze that and see really what kind of character you have? Would you like that? Any of you? So none of you are transparent. You talked your way into that one, didn't you? Huh? None of you are really transparent, correct? So you're not as good as you think you are, right? Am I getting close? So your heart is number one going to fight to protect your comfort. And number two, your heart will fight to keep your secrets, desires, motives, and so on. These are two things that are not on your side when God speaks to you to do something for Him. He has a work for you to do. As Jesus said, I must finish my work. You have to say, you must finish your work. And your heart is going to be against you, not for you. You get it? That's why so few young people, so few, stay in any church more than 7 or 8 years. They're gone then. They either get the wrong job and end up with the wrong guy or girl, marry the wrong people, have the wrong kids, end up in the wrong town, in the wrong church, or no church. Why? Because it felt good. And because you never consulted the Bible. You only consulted your heart. And your heart said, no, 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 no. Get it? Can you trust your heart? No. Can you trust your emotions? No. Can you trust me? No. See? And so you can see that now everything you decide to do in this life, everything you decide to do is going to be fought against with your own heart and your own secret desires. Wow. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? Huh? In other words, before you get anything done for God, you've got to almost fight yourself to death to free yourself from your comforts and to free yourself from some of those desires you have to get rid of them. Listen, only then can you serve God. You can't serve God if you've got secret desires. It's not going to work. You'll go back to them all the time. And so this is pretty heavy business. Now, let's look at our verse in John, end of the book. Right down the very end. Found it? Chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now, just look at me. Jesus had died. He made three appearances after he died. Why did he do that? Why did he come back and appear to his disciples after he was dead? Why? Because he knew that they would go back and listen to their heart. Got it? And then he knew that they would fail. Got it? And that's why you will fail. If you start listening to your heart again, you will end up in the wrong... Listen, it can start off with just a job. You go looking for a job, and just because some guy says, yeah, you got the job, you assume it's the will of God. No! You can't assume anything. Don't take it. Don't just say, I'll take it, because it's hard to find a job. No, 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 no. God has to direct you from His Word. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you what He wants you to do. And then you have the okay to say yes. You don't say yes just to get money. You don't say yes because it's hard to find a job. You don't say yes because it's a relative or a friend or a family member. You can't trust anybody. Hello? The wrong job will probably lead you to the wrong boyfriend and the wrong girlfriend and wrong activities, and then you get married to the wrong person and have the wrong children and end up in a wrong place in a wrong town. Listen to me. It's just down, 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 down the stairs. Are you learning something this morning? Not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that looks good is right. Now, these seven guys it's just a matter of days or a couple of weeks that Jesus had died. They hadn't forgotten his face. They shouldn't have forgotten his face. They saw him die on the cross. Listen carefully. They were discouraged because he was gone. And the person with the biggest mouth spoke up first in verse 3. What was his name?
Peter.
Peter. I hope your name isn't Peter, amen? Peter. All right. And what did Peter say? First of all, he did not say, well, let's see what he said first. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. Did he say to them, would you like to come with me? Did he say that? Read it. Tell me, did he say, would you like all to come with me? Did he say that? Okay, well, why did they all go with him? Thank you. They went by their heart. He felt bad, so they felt bad. Amen? You with me? He wears blue jeans, so everybody has to wear blue jeans. No one's got a brain to think that there's another colour. That's how young people are. Oh, she's got an Apple phone. I better get an Apple. That's top of the line. Boom, 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 boom. You're dumb. You can't think. Think. What does God want me to do? Not what does she do. What does he do? What does God want me to do? Every time you make a small choice, even a small choice, if it's wrong, it will continue and continue to become a big issue. Because you never asked God. You always went by your heart. And your heart cannot be trusted. Be individual. Amen? Amen? Do I have to wear a short, skinny tie that's like a shoelace? Do I have to wear one because some homosexual said that's how it has to be for now? Do I have to get my hair shaved all up one side, look like an idiot? Just because the homosexuals around the world decide how you should wear your hair. By the way, they dictate how haircuts go around the world day and night. Not normal people, the homosexuals dictate all that. Are you with me? So every young boy goes to and they're telling you they haven't got a brain, enough brains to blow up a peanut. Because they never think. They don't think. You've got to start thinking for yourself. Alright? Not to look like everybody else needs to look to show off. Think. What does God want? Make him the focus of your conversation, the focus of your thinking, and the focus of your decisions. And so Peter didn't ask anybody. They just said, you've got blue jeans. Okay, we all wear blue jeans. You see what I mean? They weren't thinkers. He was a thinker. He was a talker too. But he was also a thinker. You've got to give him that much. Amen? Amen? Amen. He wasn't stupid. People just followed him because they liked him. But that doesn't mean he's a good person. Amen? And so here we go. What does it say? We also go with this, like a choir, wasn't it? Answering. Jesus, you know, Peter sang Kumbaya, they all said, oh, Kumbaya, whatever. All right, and they all go with him, and so they went forth entered the ship and immediately that night, and they caught how much? How much?
Nothing.
When you don't do anything right, you get nothing back. The trouble. Defeat and trouble. Now this was two things. It was defeat, no fish, and then they were in trouble because God appeared to them. Weren't they? How do you think Peter felt when he realized who was it on the shore on the beach? How do you think he felt? Was he the one saying, "Let's run down to see Jesus"? Yeah, do you think so? Now that he'd led six other people astray, was he in a rush to meet Jesus? Was he?
No.
And was he the first one? No, he wasn't really. But he didn't want to see Jesus. When the morning that was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, why didn't he call them adults? Why did he call them children? You know why? Because they stepped down from being adults. They became children. Children make poor decisions. That's why they need a mother and father to help them make decisions. They'd step down. They were acting like children. We're going fishing, because that's all we know. Amen? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Now how far? Let's pretend that the ship that they were in was from here to the window. Watch me. And they were fishing on this side. Is that a long distance from here to there? No. How do you think all the fish knew to float around that side? Because Jesus made the fish. He talks fish language. You understand? You see? The fish knew more than the people. They knew what side to be on, not to get caught. But Jesus said, "I'll make it so you can't hear anything." They go on that side, and they did, and they all died. Someone ate them, amen? But this is how far, how close you can be to God and how far away from God you can be. You can be so close to the truth and yet so far away. He said, just put the net on the other side. That's it. You made a decision, but it was here, not there. You made it here and it was wrong. So let me say this to you. You better be careful when you open your mouth. And there are other people listening to you. Be careful with your mouth, what you say. Be careful with your actions, what you do and where you go. Because there'll be some other idiot who doesn't know much is going to follow you. And you will lead them astray. You will. They don't even know what they're doing. But you will lead them fishing. Jesus said, "I don't want you fishing anymore. You're fishing for me now. You're not fishing for anything else." And so you better be real careful, young people, what you say to other people. If you're wrong and you take them with you, then you will be the one who is judged. Because all the others know is he's wearing blue jeans. We better follow. Got it? Have you lost me or are you still with me? You still with me? You get a stupid haircut and somebody else follows you, you've already made a mistake. Now you're looking at each other's haircuts. Listen, if you've got one of your haircuts, I'm not preaching about you, I'm just telling you, wake up to yourself. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Don't love it. Don't follow it. Don't love it. How many of you want to follow a homosexual? Put your hand up. Then don't. Simple as that. Don't. Just because Ronaldo, the big soccer player, gets two little strips shaved off the side of his head, you have to go and do that. Why? Because you can't think for yourself. He's a wicked guy, that fella. He's ripped off the tax department. He has babies with other people. He pays women to look after all his babies while he has that kind of lifestyle. You're following that. And you think you're cool. No, you're dumb. Not cool. Amen. Nothing cool about that. He'll stand before God, and everybody who followed him will be in trouble as well. But him more so. So you've got to be real careful not to follow the world. These people follow their heart. Same thing. Following the world. Don't love the world. There's only a few parts of your body that people see. Stand up for a sec. You know, Lord, they can't see under your shirt, amen? Or your pants or anything else. They only see your head, amen? Thank God for that. Now, sit down. So the part that the world can see is the part you have to be careful of. Amen? They see what they want to see. And you have to really watch your step there, because Peter said, basically, this is what I'm doing. I think you better follow me. But he found out he was wrong. Now, when they caught all the fish, we know the rest of the story. All right? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter. Now, who was the disciple Jesus loved? Who was that? John. All right. He said to Peter, he said, I know who it is. I know who it is. Now, there's a deep truth here. A deep truth. Listen to me. How would one disciple who was with Jesus as much as all the others, how would he know it was Jesus and Peter wouldn't? Ever thought about that? It's two reasons. Two things to consider. Number one, either Peter didn't want to know. He was too scared to know. Amen? Or spiritually he was somewhere else. And he couldn't see straight. But John said, I know who it is. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he didn't know. He girded his fisher's coat under him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, but they were not far from the shore, and the land, but as it were 200 cubits, not far. They were dragging the net in full of the fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals, and the fish laid thereon, and the bread. How many of you have had dinner with Jesus? Put your hand up. How many of you have been to McDonald's? Put your hand up. If you haven't, you're a nerd, amen? McDonald's is nothing to write home about, is it? Alright, but listen to me. How would you have liked to be at this dinner if you were Peter? What do you think?
I would have loved to have dinner with Jesus.
Would you? But if you were Peter, that would be a little different, wouldn't it? You were the one who led everybody astray.
But I would still love to have dinner with Jesus.
Well, if I were Peter, I wouldn't have been in a big hurry, I don't think. Because, you know, you'd be expected to be scolded here, wouldn't you? For leading other people astray. Young people, listen to me. There's probably how many in this room? 60 maybe, alright? Listen to me. By the time that all of you are 30 years old, if we get that far, about 15 of you will still be walking with God. Yes, you heard me. The rest of you will have married the wrong person because you married with your heart, which also has in it your feelings. You married the wrong person. Things went wrong. The children were wrong. And then you went to end up in the wrong church somewhere where it was liberal because you couldn't handle the preaching of the truth. And you'll be gone. We won't see you again. You'll be forgotten. So this is a timely message for you. But the beauty of this story is this. When they sat down to eat, Jesus didn't scold Peter. He gave him a little lecture. He said, "Do you still love me?" But he didn't scold him. And you and I are blessed because we have such a Savior. I call God the God of the second and third and fourth chance. If we get millions of chances, don't mess up, young people, don't. Never let your heart rule how you think. You with me? There's something wonderful happened yesterday. I arrived from Burma, I was pretty tired. I made four plane flights to get here. And I sat in the foyer. And the young people had just finished, those in the orchestra had just finished playing. And they came out at the front door. I was sitting watching. And they were talking, about 10 of them, 12 of them were talking to each other. And not a single one of them was playing with their phone. That impressed me. Because they don't see that very often. When you're with people, you don't touch a telephone. That's the height of rudeness. That's what that is. You with me? They were enjoying each other's fellowship. That's what they were doing. I haven't seen that for a long time. I go to restaurants, man, all the time, the preachers, and I see 10 young people and they're all playing. No one's talking. No fellowship. It's almost like saying, we're here, but we're not here. And that shows how rude we can be to each other. But hey, if you want to go to the restaurant and play on your phone, stay home. Because you're not sociable. You're anti-sociable. You're rude. And you're just all full of yourself. You try and impress people that somebody wants to talk to you on a machine. Well, big deal. Big deal. You're addicted. And you can't admit it. These men at least were fishermen. These men at least enjoyed each other's company, even though they were discouraged. And when they got around Jesus, you think they're on their iPhones if they would have had one? You really think so? I don't think so. So yesterday, for those of you who stood by the door while you were pressing, it was good. It was very refreshing. So if you ever want to have a meal with me, you're very welcome. But if I see your telephone, I'll just walk out. I'm not interested in your phone. I'm interested in you. In your heart. What you're thinking. How it can be a blessing to you. That's what I'm interested in. Not the little machine in your pocket. Got it? So you have to understand that Jesus doesn't want to scold you, but he will send you trials if you get off in the wrong direction. And that's why he quickly made an appearance here. Very quickly, before these men listened to their heart. Their secret desire was still, what was it? Fishing.